from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Make a habit of it.
Bradfoe and baseball isn't boring. WEEI.
Stop.
All right. I don't know, Jacob. This is what? What's this song? Is it Pixies?
Yes, it is.
Listen, all I know is this: if there's one person on this planet who can tell me if this is a good or bad song, it's our next guest, Matt Spiegel, host of the wildly popular podcast, the PVP, the Voices of Baseball podcast. Also, 670 Score in Chicago. The Parkinson Spiegel Show. Matt Spiegel is a straw that stirs a drink when it comes to baseball in Chicago and when it comes to identifying if the song's good or not. Matt, what's going on?
What's up, Rob? Nice to talk to you. Well, your producer, is that Jacob?
Yes.
Jacob asked me what I wanted to come in with, and man, it's Boston. I was at Emerson, 88 to 92. I saw the Pixies play at the Rathskeller, which is now, what's the name of the hotel right there in Kenmore Square?
No, it's actually, now it's like a McDonald's.
Okay.
Yeah, but yeah, I know what you're talking about. But the Rathskeller, oh my goodness. My brother had a band called Jazz in Hell, Matt, right?
Okay.
And he, one of the biggest mistakes he made in life was trying to sneak in his brother and underage friends into the back of the Rathskeller for one of their shows. Not smart.
Dude, that kind of filthy rock and roll atmosphere is essential for our cultural upbringing, in my opinion. Whatever club that is in Chicago, it's the Metro, which is still going, or many others. But, the Pixies, Boston band, come on, WERS
right,
at Emerson.
All right. See, that's why I wanted some explanation, so I appreciate it. What also is essential is your expertise. Excellent job with the podcast once again, Voices of Baseball podcast, the PBP. I love some good broadcaster talk, and you have it all the time. Matt, first of all, Matt, say hi to Gordo. Gordo, another member of the Odyssey family, the Play Tessie podcast. Say hello.
Hey,
hello,
Gordo.
Hey, man, what's going on?
So, Matt, there's a few things I want to talk to you about. One is, a big conversation, part of the conversation here in Boston is Alex Cora, Alex Cora's contract. You know, he's treating it, they're treating it almost like a player free agent. Like, hey, listen, we'll get to the end of the year. If I have a good year, everyone's going to want me. Everyone's going to pay me money. And usually what happens is that in the next breath, Craig Counsell's contract comes up. So here's the thing. Craig Counsell, at the beginning of the year, all the managers like Skip Schumacher and Cora and all these people like, oh, great. We got a manager making big money finally. So, but as we sit here, I am desperate for your perspective of where we are sitting in terms of the value of actually paying a manager that much money in respect to Craig Counsell and the Cubs.
All right. Well, that's a great bit of context and a great place to start. The data point of this season so far says that it's way overvalued, right? It's, of course, more complicated than that. First of all, we're only halfway through the season. Second of all, there have been a million Cubs injuries. But third of all, and maybe most significant, Counsell's strength is organizational. He was a front office guy in Milwaukee and then a partner with first Doug Melvin and then John Stearns, who's now with the Mets, or David Stearns, excuse me, is now with the Mets. And so he's very smart. Like when Jed Hoyer hired him, the way he talked about him was clearly as kind of an equal footing guy with baseball operations. He described him like A.J. Hinch or like Craig Breslow, somebody who could either manage or be in the front office and on a very short list. So I've been thinking about Counsell as like, you know, as maybe the developmental godhead of the organization, even above Jed Hoyer, and in a way that Earl Weaver and Tom Kelly used to be as old school managers, you know. But in a bubble, managing this bunch, which is almost exactly the same team that David Ross led to 83 wins, it's been really, really bad. So, look, I've got a massive listener base, not my massive listener base, but the Cubs have a massive listener base is what I mean, who hate Counsell and are furious and think it's a brutal overpay. I do think they did David Ross dirty by telling him he was the guy. And then a couple weeks later, you know, going, even though they went down to Florida to talk to him and saying, hey, man, yeah, we made a change. But the bottom line is this is a bad job of team building by Jed Hoyer. And it brings huge organizational questions and salary cap questions and player development questions and all of that. It brings stuff that's bigger than a manager for half a season, as you know, in baseball. So it's tricky. I think Craig is good. I think he's really smart. I think he's super level and doesn't explode and then smile. He's not volatile. And I think over the long term, that all can have a really good effect. But this team is flawed, and it's been a very low amount of energy, and it's making me wonder, who's the fun guy on the coaching staff? Who's the wackadoodle who's going to get in these guys' faces? Because in Milwaukee, that was Pat Murphy. Mm. And look at the Brewers. He takes over, and they're freaking rolling. This is a bad moment for Craig Counsell's reputation, obviously. But it is complicated, and it takes a really unified coaching staff, as you know, from a personality mix. And Craig doesn't have a lot of his guys here. He's got very, very few. So I expect a shakeup in that regard going into year two of a 5-year deal. And the bigger questions are about Jed Hoyer. So maybe it's more complicated than an exact answer. But that's
sure. No, but you know, I think Matt Spiegel is joining us, the straw that stirs a drink when it comes to all conversation in Chicago baseball. And I do think though, Matt, it's great because you offered a ton of context there. And I'm just going to follow up. This is the bigger conversation about the impact Counsell have. Like you painted the picture perfectly about why the Cubs are where they are under Craig Counsell and what they might look value going forward. But
yeah,
how do you think that as we sit here, Craig Counsell's contract is going to be viewed by ownership? Because before you answer, one of the things that I said is that when it comes to Cora, maybe ownership just says, you know what? Hey, Alex, you want to come back at $2 million? Because that's what John Henry is valuing managers at, because that's he sees Craig Counsell and what the payoff was there. How do you think baseball is viewing the crowd that paying managers right now?
It's a great question. I think that the age-old debate of whether a guy's brain or a guy's personality and heart and vibe matters as a manager. If anything, this experience is tilting it towards the heart and the personality. Maybe David Ross, who was a great guy and kept a room together and funny and confrontational and a direct communicator. And I mean with his players, not necessarily with the media. Maybe David Ross got more out of this team than they were actually worth last year. They fell apart in September. This looks a hell of a lot more like the September. So maybe that's who these guys are. that they're not great enough. There is no star on this team and all that stuff. You will know Alex Cora's personality better than me, Rob. I'll tell you this, that Craig is not a guy that I would, you know, get if a team is struggling. I mean, look, the best in my recent memory is Terry Francona at being both an atmosphere provider and a strategic genius, right? And Terry lit into Cleveland if they needed it. He lit into the Red Sox if they needed it. I have no idea if Craig's got that gear. I have no idea. Mark DeRosa used to say that a manager's job, he said it once on our show, and I've never forgotten, a manager's job is to tell players the truth without them wanting to punch you in the face. I freaking love that, right? David Ross has that. I think Council does, but I don't know for sure. You tell me if Alex Cora's got that. And if he's got that kind of personality, then value it. Value it, because the strategic stuff is a crapshoot, frankly. And you've got wonks upstairs who will do the math and tell him about the math. But in the end, manager's got the control, and he's got to know his dudes and know his people. I don't know if Craig knows these people. I certainly know he doesn't know them as well as Ross did, and he's talked about it. So if Alex knows these people and you've got enough people of consequence on this team, I would value that a great deal.
Matt, I've got a question for you. You mentioned earlier about how Cubs fans are upset about the Council hire or at Council. I guess that's my question is, are they more upset at Council? Are they blaming Council for underperforming in the job? Or are they more frustrated and upset at Jed Hoyer for allotting that money to a manager and it not working out? Like, who's taking the blow here?
It's a great question. And the answer is Jed. And the answer is Tom Ricketts, because they're not quite acting like a big market behemoth when it comes to the payroll, right? Larry Lucchino called the Yankees the evil empire, and then the Red Sox became evil empire B. And now you got the Dodgers, and you've got the Phillies with their TV deal, and you've got a few others. The Cubs are not quite there. They could be, but they've not chosen to be quite there. They've tried to be very smart and efficient while still spending a lot. You'll look at their payroll. They're just below, I think, the first apron of the collective balance tax. But the only real massive spend over the last, 8 years, 7 years, is Dansby Swanson. I mean, Darvish was a big spend, but then they punted on that and traded him to San Diego, got $58 million off the books in a trade that didn't get them actual value. That was part of a step back where they non-tendered Kyle Schwarber. Are you freaking kidding me? They traded away Rizzo, Bryant, and Baez, which actually looked really good in terms of not paying them. So it's a mixed bag. But Dansby Swanson for $177 million, and even that is defense and stuff like that. It's not, they don't seem to pay for power and high velocity, you know? And that seems to be where the game is going. Is it a problem in the game? Yeah. Do guys get hurt? Yeah. Does straight power make the game boring sometimes? Yeah, all that. But they're trying to be very cute about it. So most of the blame's going on Jed. And especially because this bigger context, Gordo, that they brought back almost the same exact team. They traded for Michael Bush and they signed Shota Imanaga. That's it. That's literally it. And just asked their big money manager to make the difference. And he has not. So there's anger at Council, but there's more anger at Jed for the decision to not change as much as they did.
Matt, the last thing is really, you know, I've been referencing the Cubs a lot lately for the ebbs and flows of the month and a half leading into a trade deadline. And you go back to last year, and I remember when the Red Sox came to town in Chicago last year, they took 2 out of 3 against the Cubs. The Cubs were under 500, but Jed, and it certainly looked like they were trending towards selling at the deadline, but Jed kept referencing run differential, run differential, run differential. And sure enough,
yes,
they end up winning some games and they get Candelario and they end up being buyers at the deadline. This is maybe a bigger picture baseball question for you because you've been around a lot of trade deadlines. What is the perspective as we sit here right now? If Matt Spiegel is running a team, how do you view actually adding to a team right now in late June or waiting it out or even on buying or selling of because some teams are going to be selling when fan base is going to be like, what are you doing? We have a chance. So how does Matt Spiegel view heading into the trade deadline based on what we saw the Cubs last year?
God, man, it's such a great question. And I won't reference last year because it's juicy enough with this year. I wonder if a month ago the Cubs had gone out and gotten a real power bat, whether it was Alonso, if he was available, or I don't even know. It's hard because a lot of times these guys aren't available. But if they had added a power bat, and then a lot of other guys in the lineup would not have to worry about hitting homers. They could just hit line drives because their line drive rate is like 29th out of 30. It's dog crap. They're all trying to hit fly balls and pull them out of the ballpark, and they're not strong enough. So I wonder what that would have done to the lineup. And then also psychologically, if they had a real closer, if they had a legit closer, as soon as Neris showed that he was miscast and was really a 7th and 8th inning guy, and his, look at his 9th inning ERA splits when you get a chance. It's brutal. If they had done that, and psychologically the team, look, they believe in us and they gave us those two things, I'd like to think that the last month or 6 weeks would be different. I don't know, but I'd like to think so. So it's hard. You don't want to be too aggressive and give up stuff. Even last year with that minimal buy, they gave up DJ Hurz for Jamer Candelario. DJ Hurz struck out 12 in 6 shutout innings 2 starts ago with the Washington Nationals. Scary. It's scary, man. But, you know, it's you do what you think is right. And that was just for a straight-up rental for Candelario in a year they didn't make the playoffs.
Yeah, and Matt, you know, that's is two things. Number one is that I love a good June trade, a late June trade, right? And also
– yeah, maybe so do I.
Oh, okay. Carlos Santana, you win 17 and 18. You trade for Carlos Santana on June 27th, or that's how it's science. But also, people get it twisted, Matt, about what you have to give up to add something, right?
Yes.
I mean, you just paint that picture like it's, you don't have to give up Cole Reagans every time. You can get a Michael Lorenzen that helps you get to the finish line for nothing. So yeah, that's my thing.
I hear you, but it's tricky stuff and it's scary. And if I were running a team, I'd probably just wait till the very end of the deadline, which is what most of these guys do. But then you get a raft of crap from everybody if your team drifts in one direction badly. And all of a sudden people are asking if Jed Hoyer's on the hot seat. You know, it's a scary business, as we know. Man.
Yes, that's you never want to be a raft of crap. That's what I know.
No,
but Matt, you're,
hey, by the
you're,
way, hey, by the way, Rob, yeah. can, let me tell you, Rob, for two things. First of all, I don't know if you can hear the drums in the back. I'm coming to you live from the powwow for the Oneida Nation up in Green Bay, Wisconsin. My mother-in-law is full-blooded. I get to hang around with these Native Americans and eat unbelievable food and watch drumming and dancing. So that's what's in the background, if you can hear it. That's one thing. The other thing is that Rob Bradford is a freaking king of baseball media. The baseball is boring content that you are consistently churning out. Dude, I've told you this off the air. It's just remarkable. Like, the chemistry you have with a ton of different players and coaches and front office people, it's incredible stuff, dude, and admirable. So keep killing it, all right?
Well, listen, I'm going to be singing your praises up and down all the live long day. I appreciate it. It's a pleasure and an honor, and we always have good conversations. That's what I love about it. I love it. We should do a show, man. This is what it comes down to.
I'm ready.
Let's do a show.
Okay.
You call me.
I'll pick up the phone from any powwow I'm at. Okay.
I appreciate it. All right. You got a great show. You got a couple great shows. 670 The Score. Also, one of the best podcasts out there. I love it. The PBP, the Voices of Baseball podcast. So subscribe. Go rate, review, give it 5 stars because it deserves it. All right, Matt. Go enjoy the powwow. Go enjoy the good times. Thanks, man. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Matt.
You got it, Rob. Nice to meet you, Gordo. Thanks, Jacob. See you, everybody.
All right. He's really, really good. He's really, really good.
He is not a raft of crap.
No. I love that. 2024 Red Sox : we are trying not to be a raft of crap.
Put it on a sticker.
All right. We got to do a lot of different things, including what a treat. Coming up, we got Gordo's fake trades. Who says no? It's running like wildfire. It's that time of year. This is the time where you have to do these sort of things. And this is also the time of the show we are going to do a trending with Jacob.
The Greg Hill Show, weekdays 6 to 10.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
The Red Sox opened their series up against the Padres with a 9-2 loss. San Diego exploded for 9 runs in the 5th inning. 5 of them were charged to Nick Pivetta, who lasted 4 innings. Devers hit his 17th home run of the season as well. Game two of the three-game set is this afternoon. Hall of Fame Joe Castiglione, Will Fleming, and Lou Maloney have the call from Fenway at 4:10 on the Shaw's and Star Market WEEI Red Sox Radio Network. Shaw's, perfecting the art of fresh. Tanner Houck is on the mound for the Sox, Michael King for the Padres. Joe Weil will get you going with the Mass Mutual pregame show at 3:10 on the dot. In the NHL draft, first round was last night. BU forward Macklin Celebrini went first overall to the San Jose Sharks. The Bruins selected Boston College commit Dean Letourneau with the 25th overall selection in the draft. He is a forward listed at 6'7", special player. In the NBA offseason, the Boston Celtics picked up Sam Hauser's $2.9 million option. Extension talks can begin after July 9th. DeJounte Murray got traded to the Pelicans for Larry Nance Jr., E.J. Liddell, Dyson Daniels, and two first-round picks. And the Revolution will look to win five straight matches tonight against the Columbus Crew at 7:30. My name is Jacob Lassner, and that is what's trending.
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Horse rep pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Baseball isn't boring with Brad Foe.
Save us as a favorite on the Odyssey app. And take Boston Sports Original everywhere you go.
Within the show. We're here at the Ford Fenway Clubhouse Studio. I'm Rob Bradford, along with Gordo Playtesi. This is the Baseballs and Boring Show. Matt Spiegel, thanks, man. Oh, so good. So good. Adding such great context to the Craig Council contract, which could be the Alex Cora contract. Who knows? Who knows? But
yeah, this is one.
We are solving a lot of the world's problems or questions today, Gordo. Including, as you just found out, how many lobsters can fit in a lobster pot? A lobster, like, cage.
The cage, yeah, in the sea.
You thought you were, like, catching them, like, one at a time.
Yeah, I thought it was, like, a one at
no,
a time.
No, you know how long it would take? This is like tuna fishing.
I thought this is why they were so expensive. It's catching them one at a time. It's time-consuming. It's like you finish the
we
day
get,
like, four lobsters.
Again,
and, like, that's a
because we like to advance the conversation, much like we did with Matt Spiegel of 670 The Score in Chicago, talking about the Council and the Cubs. We don't just sit here and say, oh, I wonder how Craig Council's contract's going to affect Alex Cora. We get a guy on who knows what's going on, who follows this stuff, who can offer context and information. And I think we should do the same. We should get on John Farrell to tell you about exactly how lobsters are caught.
Oh, my God, yes.
Yeah.
I need to learn. And I wouldn't want to learn from anyone else.
No, he's great at it. Are you kidding me? Like, he's excellent.
He's a pro.
World Series winning manager. Excellent lobsterman. All right. Well, we promised everybody that we would do some fake trades. We've been cruising along, doing a lot of different stuff. I appreciate everyone's patience. I appreciate your patience, Gordo. You and the Playtesty guys are the best in the business when it comes to fake trades. We had a call. I appreciate a caller calling up. I think it was Harry called up, and he said he gave the one, but they aren't. The Mets aren't trading J.D. Martinez. Like, yeah, actually, J.D. Martinez might make the All-Star team, right?
That'll be interesting, because when did his season start? Like, I know he missed a bunch of time.
It didn't start that late, I feel like.
Time, it felt like a long delay, but the beginning of the season always feels longer.
The Red Sox could have, I think they could have four guys in the All-Star team.
It's either going to be.
I don't think Connor Wong's going to make it, because I think it's just his playing time split up too much.
And it's like he's like a breakout guy who's not a big name. It's like they're going to get Devers, Houck, and Duran.
Yes, and you know the fourth.
Oh, I was thinking if there was going to be a fourth, it would be Wong. Are you going to say
Kenley?
You think it's Kenley?
Yeah.
I just think relief spots, I mean, so many of these teams aren't going to have real representatives, and they're going to need to find a guy on that team to be their one representative. Kind of like Kenley last year.
But if Kenley wasn't Kenley, I don't think he would make it. Because he's Kenley, and you immediately say, oh, I wonder how Kenley Jansen's doing, and then you look at his numbers, like, oh, really, really good.
Yeah.
But Duran's got to make it. He has to make it. He's also, the whole thing about voting for him, I understand why people are saying that, but that's not the issue here. That's
two separate things. It's Red Sox fans, historically, in the last 10-plus years or whatever, have not voted for All-Stars. Jaron Duran has been one of the best players in baseball, and it is an embarrassment of sorts that he was outside the top 20 or at the back.
Yeah, but that's how it is. That's their lot in life.
But it doesn't mean he's not going to be an All-Star.
No, the campaign for Jaron Duran shouldn't be like, go vote for Jaron Duran. It should be, hey, everybody understand why Jaron Duran is better than these other American League outfielders.
Right.
Like, let's get our head around that. And so anyway, I think he'll make it. Houck will make it. And who was the third one?
Devers.
He'll make
one of the best seasons of his career.
Yeah, he'll make it too.
OPS like considerably higher than Jose Ramirez's.
When you're covering an All-Star game and you have a lot of players from a team, like last year was easy. It was Kenley Jansen. That was it. They set all these players up. I love the All-Star game because of this access. All the players for each team has to sit at a table for about 45 minutes and answer questions. And you get the guys like Josiah Gray sitting there by himself, and is great because I get a chance to talk to Josiah Gray. But Shohei Ohtani, you're not even getting close to him.
Right.
Kenley Jansen was the only one there last year. But I've been there, like 2018, they had about five or six guys. And so you're running around, and you don't want to miss, especially in that year, like you have contract situations, and you have all this. This is where you talk a lot about what's your contract. Like, this is the time. So you're running around. So what I did that year with Mookie was a big topic of conversation because his contract was running out. So I actually took a tape recorder, and I put it on his table and then ran around everywhere.
Smart.
Yeah, thank you.
They're going to ask all the questions you need.
Well, yeah. And then I remember Alex Spear saying, I'm like, say, hey, you could believe what Mookie said? He's like, how do you know? I was the only one there. I'm like, no, my tape recorder was there too. Anyway, so nobody cares about that, but the All-Star game is coming up, and that was our All-Star conversation for the day. So speaking of conversations for the day, trade deadline's coming up. It is officially trade deadline season. It's officially fake trade season. How many? You got a bunch of them, right?
I've got four.
Give me your best one. Give me your best one, and then we'll go from there.
See, here's the thing. They're all the best because you've got the realistic ones that could play. You've got the craziest ones that, like, I want to happen the most. But I'll start with pitching because I feel like
– I want the one which, like, last year when I went to Heim, and I can't remember which one it was. It was for Mets.
It wasn't even a Red Sox trade. It was Mets.
It was Beatty and I forget who it was. But I remember it was such a good proposal that I went to Heim Bloom and I said, all right, off the record, let me know who would not do this trade. I like it. It has to be that level where I'm going to go to Craig Breslow. Hey, I'm just curious. Who doesn't do this trade? Give me that one.
Okay. Well, I'm gonna go with the deadline trade for a pitcher here, just because I feel like if the Red Sox are going to go for it this year, that's kind of got to be the area they go
to.
I feel like they could get a bat, but that needs to be second to pitching. And you're gonna have to pay up if you get one of these rental pitchers. But an interesting guy that I feel like maybe a couple of people have talked about, but not a lot, and he's not a rental, is Zach Eflin.
Okay.
So he's on an $11 million contract this year. Obviously, you'd pay whatever the remainder is of that is, depending on when you trade for him. But he's under contract next year for $18
million. Mm-hmm.
And he's with the Rays, who I don't see wanting to pay a pitcher $18 million a year. They're also going to have all of their pitchers who are out coming back next year. Guys like Shane McClanahan,
Boz,
Rasmussen, Shane Boz will finally pitch. I mean, they're going to have guys. So I could see Zach Eflin being a guy that they deal. And with his $18 million on the books next year, that might not be a guy you have to, even though he's not a rental, that might not be a guy you have to go all in for. Because I don't think the Rays are going to be one of those teams that's going to eat money to increase the prospect return. I just don't think that's their MO. So, curious. Three prospects: Nick York, Chase Mydroth, Zach Penrod, the up-and-coming pitcher. For Zach Eflin, who makes $18 million next year, he's got a 3.49 ERA in June. He's only walked seven guys this year in 87 innings. But it has not been as good this year as it was last year for Eflin. But this is a guy that the Sox really wanted just a year and a half ago. It was two off seasons ago.
It was last year.
It was last
year.
I think
it was last year.
Right. They wanted Zach Eflin badly. They thought they had an agreement.
And everyone will say, well, it's a different regime. But you have to understand, most of these front offices see the same thing in pitchers, right?
And I know it's a different leader of the front office, but how many of the people under the CBO are the exact same as the ones who wanted Zach Eflin just last year?
So do you want my take on this?
Yeah, let's hear
okay.
it. You're going to have to give up more?
No. I actually like it. Joe Weil, give me the thumbs up or thumbs down on this trade. You didn't hear the trade. All right. Zach Eflin coming to the Red Sox. Yeah, this is a good reset for everyone who wants to actually talk about what we're talking about. Red Sox get Zach Eflin to give up. They're giving up Nick York, Chase Mydroth, and Zach Penrod.
Yeah, Zach Penrod. I really think that the
Joe Weil gives the thumbs up.
The thumbs up.
All right. I am also going to give the thumbs up. I think this is a good one by you.
Thank you.
And you know I'm honest when it comes to this.
You are.
This is a good one by you because I think that they need a starting pitcher. They want to get someone who's under control for a couple reasons. Number one, because that's how everybody wants under control players. But also because Pivetta might not be here. You need another under control pitcher, right?
So can I give you the question I have with this? The one question.
Hold on. Let me tell you why. I'm building you up.
Okay, let's hear it. I like it.
So I like Zach Eflin. Good job by you. He's a pitcher that could pitch in the postseason too. I mean, that's how I judge these things, right? It's like, can they pitch in the postseason? Potentially. Yeah, sure. Nick York is blocked. Nick York right now, his value's up because he's doing very well in Worcester. Mydroth is a guy, in case you haven't seen him, you like how, you know, his underlying analytics and measurables, like, they really, really like. But, is he a guy that is going to be absolutely a foundational player here? Probably not. Penrod, nice story. Okay. The Red Sox, my only question with this is, are the Red Sox going to view this as too much? Anytime you give up three players who they might perceive as becoming major leaguers, even though we can say, do the Dave Dombrowski, hey, listen, just get the guy that you want and don't worry about the guys that you're giving up. I like that philosophy, but they might view it a little bit differently. But for me, I like the trade. Go ahead.
Well, to me also, it's do you like the guy, like the guys you're giving up? I do think that it matters, like who you give up matters, but you just said it right there.
But that's a blanket statement. It's saying that don't obsess, don't tie yourself in a knot about the guys you're giving up. Like you have to get I always keep saying this, you have to get uncomfortable.
But how uncomfortable does trading any of these guys?
No, it doesn't make you uncomfortable.
But it
doesn't make me uncomfortable. The problem is it makes front offices uncomfortable.
I get that, but
it made real quick. It made them uncomfortable, Gordo, when they traded Jalen Beeks for Nathan Eovaldi. It made a lot of people in that organization, this organization, the Red Sox, uncomfortable about trading Jalen Beeks.
I get that. And I feel like so much of the discomfort in those areas is because they don't want to get caught looking bad if any of the
guys
breaks out.
Yes.
But that's just that. And like, I get it. They don't agree with this mindset. But to me, it's like I look at who is going to be in this lineup a year from now, 2 years from now, 3 years from now, 4 years from now. Are any of these guys going to be foundational pieces? No. So go get a guy that's going to help you. The question that I have here, though, I mentioned that Zach Eflin's got $18 million on his contract next year. Historically, that's not an issue. And for the Rays, it's an issue. Is it an issue for the Red Sox?
All right, here's a good question for you. Ready?
Let's hear it.
I love this. We're having great conversations. Nick Pivetta. Say Nick Pivetta, he didn't have a good start last night. Nick Pivetta has a good last couple months of the season. 3 months of the season. Do you give Nick Pivetta a qualifying offer?
If he has a good final, yeah.
The 3 months? All right, there's your answer. Because that's what, you know, that's basically what you're going to give Zach Eflin.
But now if you get Zach Eflin and you've got his 18.
No, I'm not talking about bringing back Nick, but I'm saying allocating that money. They will be willing to allocate whatever, the $19, $20 million to Nick Pivetta in a qualifying offer. So that shows you they're willing to pay for that level of pitcher. You get Zach Eflin, I think the perception is that you might get that level of pitcher next year with him.
Potentially, but then you also have to ask yourself, like, if they get Zach Eflin and they know that the $18 million is coming, and this feels like a completely ridiculous thought to have, but it's just the way that I've been trained to think now with the way ownership has acted, is are they going to make a poor decision on Nick Pivetta's qualifying offer? Maybe he should get it, but they think he might accept it, and so they're not going to give it to him just because they took on Zach Eflin's $18 million for next
year. No, it's two different things. I'm not. If they trade for Zach Eflin, they're not getting Nick. They're not offering another I don't think they're offering qualifying offer Nick Pivetta for that exact reason.
But that's a problem.
I don't think they want to allocate. I don't want. Who are you, my thing is? Who are you? Who are they willing to pay? Are they willing to pay a pitcher $18 million next year? And I think yes, they probably are. They probably are. Because I think that through all of this, Tanner Houck and Garrett Whitlock coming back and Brian Bello under contract.
Giolito.
And you already have Giolito. I mean, that's already found or spent money. You already have this. Are you willing to actually have an anchor of that? And because I do think you have to have an anchor. I think you have to have the Nick Pivetta part of that rotation next year, whether it's Nick Pivetta or whether it's Zach Eflin or whether it's Chris Bassett, whoever it is.
That's got to be, because you have to think, I mean, obviously you could trade for a rental and this discussion doesn't even matter, but if you're trading for a guy.
I don't think they're trading for a rental.
I don't think they do either. But to me, I think the one thing that's missing in this, like Tanner Houck has been that dude. He is a frontline starting pitcher. I don't think there's any question of that anymore. But to be a team that can actually make noise in the playoffs, you need multiple guys like that.
You need
a guy with him.
This is what it all comes down to. You're building a team. When you're getting these players, you have to ask yourself, if you think you're in it for a postseason berth, you have to ask yourself, do we have at least 2.5, ideally 3 starting pitchers who we can roll out? Because go ask Mike Hazen this, the Arizona Diamondbacks. He says this on the record, on the Baseballs and Boring podcast. I said, hey, good job by you. He's like, not really, because we were throwing a bullpen game in the, what was it, the World Series. Like, we should not be throwing a bullpen game in the World Series. Bad job by me. I didn't get enough.
Bad job by me.
That's what he said. He said, it. Go subscribe, go listen, go listen back to the interview. He said, bad job by me. And that's why they went out and got Eduardo Rodriguez. That's why they went out and got Jordan Montgomery, because he didn't want to be caught. So my point is that if you're the Red Sox and you feel like you have a chance, if you actually feel like you have a chance at the postseason, then you better make sure that you have what it takes to win a series with the starting pitchers you have. Right now, you have Tanner Houck, and you have, let's be honest, as we sit here, some question marks. Cutter Crawford, Nick Pivetta,
Bayo.
So you have some question marks. Here's my who says no. And we got to take a break, but I want to come back with another, your next who says no. I don't know if this is one of them.
Let's hear it.
The Diamondbacks are starting to drift off. They made a surge. Now they're sort of going the other way.
I've been nervous to pick guys from them, because if you make the World Series the year before, but who do you got? Let's hear it.
Who's the guy that everyone was screaming about? Jordan Montgomery.
Oh, Wait, what's his what is his opt-in situation?
We'll check it out. But right now, Jordan Montgomery is actually, by the way, pitching a lot better. He started off terribly. He's pitching a lot better. And you talk about a guy that you want in the postseason. Anyway, that's I want to throw that out there because I love fake trades. This is what we're talking about. Jack Flaherty, Kikuchi, Anderson. I don't know. There's a bunch of them. But I like – here, let it be said. Let it be done. I like your Zach Eflin trade, Gordo of the Plate, Tessie podcast. This is a Baseball Isn't Boring show. We're going to be with you up until the top of the hour. Joe Weil takes over for the pregame show. And then we have the three-man booth, Joe Castiglione, Will Fleming, and Lou Marlone. We'll be back right after this.
We continue with Rob Bradford and Baseball Isn't Boring on WEEI.
And streaming everywhere on the Odyssey app.
All right, let's go. Baseball Isn't Boring show. The home stretch all the way up into Red Sox pregame with Joe Weil. It's going to be awesome. And then the first pitch, three-man booth, Joe Castiglione, Will Fleming, Lou Marlone, Gordo of Play Tessie, the Play Tessie podcast, at Play Tessie. Everyone's talking about them. Everyone's talking about everything they're doing. Now they're going to be talking even more because you are very, very good. The whole crew. This is how you get your foot in the door. Fake trades.
Who says no?
Who says no? And everyone loves the good who says no talk. And leading in the trade deadline, it is who says no season. I do, as I said to Matt Spiegel, 670 The Score in Chicago. We're going to be posting that on the Baseballs and Boring podcast feed a little bit later. He gave us the what, so what when it became, is it worth it to pay a manager $8 million? But yeah, as I said to him, I love a good late June trade. I love a good late June trade. And I did the exercise the other day, and you have the Carlos Santana trade, 2022.
Good trade.
Seattle trades for him, go win 17 of 18 games. The Red Sox trade for Steve Pierce on June 28th.
Great trade.
They went 33-8 afterward.
Is that right? 33-8?
Yeah, 33-8. Actually, they lost the first game he was there, and then he went 33-8. Then you have last year, Aroldis Chapman was traded to the Texas Rangers for a really, really good pitcher in Cole Reagans. But
they won the World Series.
They won the World Series. And also, let's be honest, like Chapman helped them get to the playoffs. You can make the argument if Chapman's not there, they don't make the playoffs. And that's the fine line you're walking. Where you say, oh, well, you know, we'll just get there. Well, you know, Chris Young made the moves early to get them to the finish line. The Diamondbacks and Rangers kind of squeaked in at the end. So I love a good June trade. They almost never happen because teams overvalue. Teams are asking for too much. Teams aren't defining themselves, so forth and so on. Anyway.
It's like it's always just like a preparation. Like it's just a we're building the market.
Yeah, there's always an excuse not to make them. Yeah. But if you really want to plant your flag in the ground in that clubhouse, let's go. Let's make a June trade. Before you get to your other who says, no, I want to take this call, Carl is on the Cape. Hello, Carl. How are you?
Hey, Bradford. Doing well. How are you?
Awesome. Oh, are you kidding me? Let's go. Great.
I'm telling you, baseball is relevant, and it certainly is not boring. So,
that is the next T-shirt. Said, baseball is relevant.
I thought he was about to say baseball is boring.
No. What do you got? Carl?
I think we're so high leverage right now with talented outfielders in the minor league system. Now's the time to strike a deal. You got to take some of that talent and really try and obtain a front end starter, and not just any starter, but someone who's young and controllable. It doesn't necessarily have to be an ace. But it's got to be a solid piece, a guy that, you know, that is capable of winning 15, 16 games and consistently keep you in ball games. That's the move, I think. And then the other one is a big right-handed bat. I know this might sound crazy, but, boy, wouldn't Vladdy Jr. look really good hitting?
I don't think that's crazy at all.
That's my
white whale right there.
In that lineup.
I love it, Carl. And thank you for the call. I appreciate it. And, That's a perfect segue, right?
Well, what do you think? I put a Vladdy trade together, but it's so hard to
free agent at the end of the year.
Next year.
I mean, at the end of next year.
So difficult to put that one.
Only 25 years old, which isn't crazy to me.
Makes $19.9 million.
I couldn't even. It was a time-honored tradition every time they played the Blue Jays. I would put up the poll. Who would you rather have? Devers or Vladdy? I couldn't even put up the poll anymore because everyone went Devers.
Yes.
But it became such a polarizing thing for people in Canada. They're like, they were so offended by this. But listen, I mean, to have a built-in right-handed middle of the order bat, like that is a very real thing where you could make the case of, we are building this team, and this is going to be part of building the team. It's not reactionary, but it's part of building the team. So there you go.
One thing that the team is missing, not just now, but into the future, like we talk about all these prospects they have coming up, most of them are left-handed. The big three are all left-handed. So what does this team need now and into the future is that big right-handed bat that goes in the middle of Costas and Devers, or Devers and Costas.
Who says no? Will you or Abreu for Vlad Guerrero Jr.?
Well, the trade I put...
Oh, do you have a Vlad Guerrero Jr. trade?
I do, yeah.
Hold on. Would you do that one?
It's so impossible to put a trade together like this because a guy like Vlad is so, like, they're not going to want to give up Vlad. No. It's going to be impossible. So I started it with Willier. You're going to say no to this if that was your trade. I was going to say Willier, Yoelen Cespedes, and Christian Campbell.
Oh, God.
You think that's too much?
Yeah.
I think it is too
much. For a year and a half of Vlad Guerrero Jr., who's like
making a lot of money.
He's making...
But you're going to have to entice them to pull the trigger.
That's a terrible one.
I think I say no as well, but I...
You know that I'm a big proponent of, like, it's fine. Like, don't overvalue the prospects. But you're talking about three... It's not even a prospect. I mean, Willy Abreu is a legitimate... potential all-star, you know?
All right, okay. He's been good.
He's a potential all-star. No, I'm not saying this year.
Oh, okay.
Anyway, yeah, that's terrible. Hey, I want to remind you. Can I remind you where we are?
Where are we?
We're the Ford Clubhouse Fenway Studio. And the Ford Clubhouse Fenway Studio is brought to you by your New England Ford dealers. Celebrate the great American sales event and join the Bronco family or get a great offer on America's best-selling truck series, official truck of the Red Sox. All right. Give me another. That was a terrible one.
You don't think the Blue Jays would be just a little bit hesitant to take a trade for Vlad Jr. without a single?
Yeah, I think neither one of those teams, they don't want to get uncomfortable. They don't want to get uncomfortable. I think the Blue Jays are more likely to do that trade than the Red Sox.
I think so, too. But with that being the case, go get them. Go get them. If that's too much.
I would like that. You know why? I have a Vladdy Time t-shirt, which I bought up in Toronto.
Oh, Vladdy time.
Vladdy time.
You'd see some crazy home. I mean, you saw one this week.
Yeah.
You'd see that
it's
every week.
It's you need why you have these. We've said this a million times, Gordo. These guys coming up. Forget about even the left-handed hitting thing. These guys coming up, you cannot expect them to be like the game changers, no question about it, guys, right out of the gate. That's not how baseball works now. So you need the guys who are there who you say, that's it, that we can rely on that. We have Devers, we have Duran, potentially Casas, and Vlad Guerrero Jr. Boom.
And for a lot, assuming you extend Guerrero, then that's for a long period.
There's no chance Yoshida's on his team next year, right?
I don't think so.
Yeah.
I don't know how they're going to.
3 years you're eating. Yeah. Anyway, all right. We don't want people to be disappointed and leave any.
I got another one.
No, I know. Exactly. So we don't want people to say, "Man, I wish that show didn't end so quickly." And I mean, Joe Weil can do a. You can stay and Joe. You want to do like a Who Says No segment of the first pregame show? Here is the call of last night's game, and here is Alex Cora's interview. And by the way, here is Gordo. We should do a Who Says like I'm going to tell Ken Lair this. We should do in the pregame show for the month leading up the trade deadline, fake trades every pregame show, or at least like a couple times a week.
I love that.
All right.
Great idea. Who says no?
Who says
no? In the month of June and July, late June and all of July, you can't be.
Listen, the Drake May 7-on-7s are always off, so why not? Anyway, give me another one.
Okay, I can't take credit for this one. This was Sammy's, and he said it on the podcast, but I want to hear your thoughts on it. I had an answer to this, but I'm not going to tell you what I said. Jeff Passan, I don't want to say he connected the Red Sox to Luis Renjifo, but he said that Luis Renjifo would be the perfect fit. He had him as the best fit for the Red Sox. Would you trade Vaughn Grissom for him straight up? Or who says no, Vaughn Grissom for Luis Renjifo straight up?
Would I? Yes.
You would trade Vaughn Grissom.
Renjifo, tell me his contract again.
He has a year and a half of team control, and he is awesome against lefties. I think it's like a 970-something OPS against lefties. He's a switch hitter.
So he's
all over the diamond.
So here's the thing with Vaughn
Grissom. He steals.
It would be short-sighted to say, oh, Vaughn Grissom, he's not going to work out. But the problem with the Red Sox and Vaughn Grissom is that they put themselves in the situation has lent itself to an awkward situation. And because you came out of the gate, you said Vaughn Grissom is our second baseman. Here's our second baseman this year and next year and the year after. Well, you can't really say that now. You can't say it for a couple reasons. Number one, at some point, you need the guy to show you that he can be a major league everyday player and produce. Number two is that if you said who would you rather have out there at this point in time at second base, David Hamilton or – and I'm saying I'm looking at next year, right? Trevor Story will be back. Okay. David Hamilton or Vaughn Grissom, no disrespect to Vaughn Grissom, but it's David Hamilton, isn't it? And we aren't even talking about, by the way, these two other guys who have to enter in the equation. If you're going to hang on to Nick York and Nick York produces, you also have to give him a chance. Well, what if Nick York outperforms Vaughn Grissom? All right, and then let's talk about the other thing, which no one really talks about. They just talk about his name, but not where he's going to play, and that's Marcelo Meyer.
Well, that's where my head went, and it goes with a trade like this, is because if you acquire Luis Renjifo, he's in theory the Red Sox don't need a guy with multiple years of control for this particular hole that they have because of the things that you just said, guys coming up, Trevor Story coming back. But the benefit of it is you can trade an area of depth, and So personally, I would feel a little bit uncomfortable trading Grissom. I would more so like to trade one of the lefty guys, like start the deal with Emmanuel Valdez and then add a little bit to that for Renjifo. Trade one of the lefties. You can flip Renjifo after the season if you enter the season.
So like, I think that for this team, Renjifo is a good add, absolutely. But when it comes to the Marcelo Meyer thing, like all of this is it's a complication I don't think people talk about. And we've heard a lot of, all these guys hit from the same side of the plate. Well, forget about that. Let's talk about positions. So Marcelo Meyer, today, last check, he is not being called up to Worcester right now. I mean, he'll get called up to Worcester at some point. But right now, he's not getting called up to Worcester. But he is going to get called up to Worcester at some point this year. And he's going to put himself in position to make the Major League team next year. And he should be, by the way.
Yes.
And so if you do that, well, where is he going to play? What's that going to look like? How much are you going to have to rely on him? A guy who is here for the San Diego Padres, let me remind you, Jackson Merrill was the same first round of Marcelo Meyer. He was one of you now have Jordan Lawler, who was picked two spots after Marcelo Meyer in that draft, high school shortstop, already in the major leagues. Hurt this year, but already in the major leagues last year. Jackson Merrill, high school shortstop, now a center fielder, already in the major leagues.
21.
And we all understand Marcelo Meyer's progression was delayed because of the injury last year. Fine. But now you're back on track. Now you are in the spot where next year, definitively, if he keeps going like he has been, he is a major league player.
And they've been opening doors for him and clearing paths for him. Coincidentally, the Padres are in town. Part of the reason that they felt so comfortable letting Xander Bogaerts hit free agency is because they felt they had their shortstop of the future.
Yes.
They've been opening doors for him for years.
And if he wasn't the shortstop of the future, it was Trevor Story's going to play shortstop for a couple years and Marcelo Meyer will play second base.
Right.
So now we're integrating Vaughn Grissom. Now we're integrating like conversations about even David Hamilton. Like I can't sleep on David Hamilton. David Hamilton, this is a feather in his cap. He's proven to be a major league player, right? A major league middle infielder.
Yeah.
Correct?
It's not something you would have been able to say earlier.
If you got what you have in David Hamilton from Vaughn Grissom, You would have been good trade. Good trade, Red Sox.
Yep.
Right?
Absolutely.
Anyway, you got another one to sneak in here?
Yeah, I do. I do.
All right.
Okay. I teased Justin Turner. I'll go there. Valdez for Justin Turner. Who says no?
Oh.
Because
it's a good one.
Turner's hitting lefties.
Yeah.
Sox need someone who can hit lefties.
Yeah.
I don't believe the whole DH. DH to play the field. That was not true. They said that all offseason, and then they haven't played Massa in the field. I think, what is it, one game he's played in
the field? Well, this will also be real. Like, this is – Justin Turner's a good fit for a couple different reasons. Number one, we know the presence he can be, a positive presence he can be on this team.
Yep.
And as we said this before, it's all well and good right now. But when the rubber meets the road, it's always good to have a veteran guy in there. People like Justin Turner around this team. The other thing is that, yeah, you're tying yourself in a knot to playing Yoshida. Fine, you're playing Yoshida. But if you had Justin Turner play against lefties and Yoshida play against righties – everyone's going to be like, that's acceptable. That's acceptable. And when it comes to Emmanuel Valdez, is he a major league player? Okay, sure, fine. But so is Santiago Espinal.
And here's the issue and why Valdez is going to be in so many of my who says no's for the next month, and if he's not traded moving forward, is just you have, like, David Hamilton is a lefty middle infielder who we'll see if he's going to be a starting caliber player moving forward. We'll see if he's going to come off the bench and be that guy. But if how many lefty middle infielders, like up and down kind of guys, maybe guy who comes off the, how many of those guys can you have on the roster moving forward? Not even just the 26 man, like the 40 man.
Yeah, and when it comes to Valdez, it's such a like a tease of a player, right? He actually he
can
offensively hit. He feels like he can hit, but then you look at his numbers, it's like, oh, his numbers, like, it feels like he's better than that. And then defensively, oh, he's gotten better, and then you see a play like the other night.
It's still not good.
It's still not good. So you have to identify who are fits. David Hamilton is a better fit than Emmanuel Valdez. You still have Vaughn Grissom here. You have Marcelo Meyer coming up. You have
right.
Nick York in the conversation. Like, exactly. All of it.
And multiple of those guys, like, at some point are going to have to go. And by some point, I mean some point relatively soon.
But so why are we talking about this? Because it's the trade deadline. Because you start have to identify teams. And the thing that they have going for them, and Manny Valdez is a perfect example of this. He has some semblance of value. And I think that one might be your best one. Honestly, I don't know. I like the Eflin one too.
I would love it if they traded for Justin Turner. I mean, I was one of the bigger opponents of.
Hey, listen, it's Steve Pierce all over again, isn't it?
In what way?
Like, and you're getting the short-time veteran right-handed hitting whatever, like in this case DH, for the guy that, okay, he might be a major leaguer, but yeah, so be it.
And would they do the Steve Pierce trade over and over again? Would they?
I think so. All right, Gordo of Playtessie, thank you so much. Thank you to everybody. Thank you, Matt Spiegel, obviously. Excellent, excellent job. Thank you to Jacob Lastner. Excellent job behind the glass, Jacob. Thank you to all the subscribers and listeners and followers at BB Isn't Boring. I play Tessie as well. We at WEEI and Odyssey love to talk baseball. We love it.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
We continue with Rob Bradford and Baseball Isn't Boring on WEEI.
And streaming everywhere on the Odyssey app.
All right, let's go. Baseball's a boring show. The home stretch all the way up into Red Sox pregame with Joe Weil. It's going to be awesome. And then the first pitch, three-man booth, Joe Castiglione, Will Fleming, Lou Maloney, Gordo of Play Tessie, the Play Tessie podcast, at Play Tessie. Everyone's talking about them. Everyone's talking about everything they're doing. Now they're going to be talking even more because you are very, very good. The whole crew. This is how you get your foot in the door. Fake trades.
Who says no?
Who says no? And everyone loves the good who says no talk. And leading the trade deadline, it is who says no season. I do, as I said to Matt Spiegel, 670 The Score in Chicago. We're going to be posting that on the Baseballs and Boring podcast feed a little bit later. He gave us the what, so what, when it became, is it worth it to pay a manager $8 million? But, yeah, as I said to him, I love a good late June trade. I love a good late June trade. And I did the exercise the other day, and you have the Carlos Santana trade, 2022.
Good trade.
Seattle trades for him, win 17 of 18 games. The Red Sox trade for Steve Pierce on June 28th.
Great trade.
They went 33-8 afterward.
Is that right? 33-8?
Yeah, 33-8. They lost the first game he was there, and then he went 33-8. Then you have last year, Aroldis Chapman was traded to the Texas Rangers for a really, really good pitcher in Cole Reagans. But
they won the World Series.
They won the World Series. And also, let's be honest, like Chapman helped them get to the playoffs. You can make the argument if Chapman's not there, they don't make the playoffs. And that's the fine line you're walking. Where you say, oh, well, you know, we'll just get there. Well, you know, Chris Young made the moves early to get them to the finish line. The Diamondbacks and Rangers kind of squeaked in at the end. So I love a good June trade. They almost never happen because teams overvalue. Teams are asking for too much. Teams aren't defining themselves, so forth and so on. Anyway.
It's like it's always just like a preparation. Like it's just we're building the market.
Yeah, there's always an excuse not to make them. Yeah. But if you really want to plant your flag in the ground in that clubhouse, let's go. Let's make a June trade. Before you get to your other who says, no, I want to take this call, Carl is on the Cape. Hello, Carl. How are you?
Hey, Bradford. Doing well. How are you?
Awesome. Oh, are you kidding me? Let's go. Great.
I'm telling you, baseball is relevant, and it certainly is not boring. So,
that is the next T-shirt. Said, baseball is relevant.
I thought he was about to say baseball is boring.
No. What do you got? What do you got? Carl?
I think we're so high leverage right now with talented outfielders in the minor league system. Now's the time to strike a deal. You got to take some of that talent and really try and obtain a front end starter, and not just any starter, but someone who's young and controllable. It doesn't necessarily have to be an ace. But it's got to be a solid piece, a guy that, you know, that is capable of winning 15, 16 games and consistently keep you in ball games. That's the move, I think. And then the other one is a big right-handed bat. I know this might sound crazy, but, boy, wouldn't Vladdy Jr. look really good? Hitting,
I don't think that's crazy at all. That's
Rafael Devers.
White whale right there.
In that lineup.
I love it, Carl. And thank you for the call. I appreciate it. And, this is a perfect segue, right?
Well, what do you think? I put a Vladdy trade together, but it's so hard to
free agent at the end of the year.
Next year.
I mean, at the end of next year.
So difficult to put that one.
Only 25 years old, which isn't crazy to me.
Makes $19.9 million.
I couldn't even. It was a time honored tradition. Every time they played the Blue Jays, I would put up the poll: who would you rather have? Devers or Vladdy. I couldn't even put up the poll anymore because everyone went Devers.
Yes.
But it became such a polarizing thing for people in Canada. They're like, they were so offended by this. But listen, I mean, to have a built-in right-handed middle of the order bat, like, that is a very real thing where you can make the case of, we are building this team, and this is going to be part of building the team. It's not reactionary, but it's part of building the team. So there you go.
One thing that the team is missing, not just now, but into the future, like, we talk about all these prospects they have coming up. Most of them are left-handed. The big three are all left-handed. So what does this team need now and into the future is that big right-handed bat that goes in the middle of Costas and Devers, or Devers and Costas.
Who says no? Will you or Abreu for Vlad Guerrero Jr.?
Well, the trade
do you have a Vlad Guerrero Jr. trade?
I do, yeah.
All right, yeah. Would you do that one?
It's so impossible to put a trade together like this because a guy like Vlad is so, like, they're not going to want to give up Vlad. No. It's going to be impossible. So I started it with Willier. You're going to say no to this if that was your trade. I was going to say Willier, Yoelen Cespedes, and Christian Campbell.
Oh, God.
You think that's too much?
Yeah.
I think it is too much.
For a year and a half of Vlad Guerrero Jr., who's like
making a lot of money.
He's making.
But you're going to have to entice them to pull the trigger.
That's a terrible one.
I think I say no as well, but I.
You know that I'm a big proponent of, like, it's fine. Like, don't overvalue the prospects. But you're talking about three. It's not even a prospect. I mean, Willie Abreu is a legitimate potential all-star, you know?
All right, okay. He's been good.
He's a potential all-star. No, I'm not saying this year.
Oh, okay.
Anyway, yeah, that's terrible. Hey, I want to remind you. Can I remind you where we are?
Where are we?
We're the Ford Clubhouse Fenway Studio. And the Ford Clubhouse Fenway Studio is brought to you by your New England Ford dealers. Celebrate the great American sales event and join the Bronco family or get a great offer on America's best-selling truck series, official truck of the Red Sox. All right, give me another. That was a terrible one.
You don't think the Blue Jays would be just a little bit hesitant to take a trade for Vlad Jr. without a single?
Yeah, I think neither one of those teams, they don't want to get uncomfortable. They don't want to get uncomfortable. I think the Blue Jays are more likely to do that trade than the Red Sox.
I think so too. But with that being the case, go get them. Go get them. If that's too much.
I would like that. You know why? I have a Vladdy Time t-shirt, which I bought up in Toronto.
Oh, Vladdy time.
Vladdy time.
You'd see some crazy home. I mean, you saw one this week.
Yeah.
You'd see that
it's
every week.
It's you need why you have these. We've said this a million times, Gordo. These guys coming up. Forget about even the left-handed hitting thing. These guys coming up, you cannot expect them to be like the game changers, no question about it, guys, right out of the gate. That's not how baseball works now. So you need the guys who are there who you say, that's it, that we can rely on that. We have Devers, we have Duran, potentially Casas, and Vlad Guerrero Jr. Boom.
And for a lot, assuming you extend Guerrero, then that's for a long period.
There's no chance Yoshida's on his team next year, right?
I don't think so.
Yeah.
I don't know how they're going to
3 years you're eating. Yeah. Anyway, all right. We don't want people to be disappointed and leave any.
I got another one.
No, I know. Exactly. So we don't want people to say, "Man, I wish that show didn't end so quickly." And I mean, Joe Weil can do a. You can stay and Joe. You want to do like a Who Says No segment of the first pregame show? Here is the call of last night's game, and here is Alex Cora's interview. And by the way, here is Gordo. We should do a Who Says, like, I'm going to tell Ken Lair this. We should do in the pregame show for the month leading up to the trade deadline, fake trades every pregame show, or at least like a couple times a week.
I love that.
All right.
Great idea. Who says no?
Who says
no? In the month of June and July, late June and all of July, you can't be.
Listen, the Drake May 7-on-7s are always off. So why not? Anyway, give me another one.
Okay. I can't take credit for this one. This was Sammy's, and he said it on the podcast, but I want to hear your thoughts on it. I had an answer to this, but I'm not going to tell you what I said. Jeff Passan, I don't want to say he connected the Red Sox to Luis Renjifo, but he said that Luis Renjifo would be the perfect fit. He had him as the best fit for the Red Sox. Would you trade Vaughn Grissom for him straight up? Or who says no, Vaughn Grissom for Luis Renjifo straight up?
Would I? Yes.
You would trade Vaughn Grissom.
Renjifo, tell me his contract again.
He has a year and a half of team control, and he is awesome against lefties. I think it's like a 970-something OPS against lefties. He's a switch hitter.
So
he's all over the diamond.
So here's the thing with Vaughn
Grissom. He steals.
It would be short sighted to say, oh, Vaughn Grissom, he's not going to work out. But the problem with the Red Sox and Vaughn Grissom is that they put themselves in the situation has lent itself to an awkward situation. And because you came out of the gate, you said Vaughn Grissom is our second baseman. Here's our second baseman this year and next year and the year after. Well, you can't really say that now. You can't say it for a couple reasons. Number one, at some point, you need the guy to show you that he can be a major league everyday player and produce. Number two is that if you said who would you rather have out there at this point in time at second base, David Hamilton or – and I'm saying I'm looking at next year, right? Trevor Story will be back. Okay. David Hamilton or Vaughn Grissom, no disrespect to Vaughn Grissom, but it's David Hamilton, isn't it? And we aren't even talking about, by the way, these two other guys who have to enter in the equation. If you're going to hang on to Nick York and Nick York produces, you also have to give him a chance. Well, what if Nick York outperforms Vaughn Grissom? All right, and then let's talk about the other thing, which no one really talks about. They just talk about his name, but not where he's going to play, and that's Marcelo Meyer.
Well, that's where my head went, and it goes with a trade like this, is because if you acquire Luis Renjifo, he's in theory, the Red Sox don't need a guy with multiple years of control for this particular hole that they have because of the things that you just said, guys coming up, Trevor Story coming back. But the benefit of it is you can trade an area of depth, and So personally, I would feel a little bit uncomfortable trading Grissom. I would more so like to trade one of the lefty guys, like start the deal with Emmanuel Valdez and then add a little bit to that for Renjifo. Trade one of the lefties. You can flip Renjifo after the season if you enter the season.
So like, I think that for this team, Renjifo is a good add, absolutely. But when it comes to the Marcelo Meyer thing, like all of this is it's a complication I don't think people talk about. And we've heard a lot of, all these guys hit from the same side of the plate. Well, forget about that. Let's talk about positions. So Marcelo Meyer, today, last check, he is not being called up to Worcester right now. I mean, he'll get called up to Worcester at some point. But right now, he's not getting called up to Worcester. But he is going to get called up to Worcester at some point this year. And he's going to put himself in position to make the Major League team next year. And he should be, by the way.
Yes.
And so if you do that, well, where is he going to play? What's that going to look like? How much are you going to have to rely on him? A guy who is here for the San Diego Padres, let me remind you, Jackson Merrill was the same first round of Marcelo Meyer. He was one of you now have Jordan Lawler, who was picked two spots after Marcelo Meyer in that draft, high school shortstop, already in the major leagues. Hurt this year, but already in the major leagues last year. Jackson Merrill, high school shortstop, now a center fielder, already in the major leagues.
21.
And we all understand Marcelo Meyer's progression was delayed because of the injury last year. Fine. But now you're back on track. Now you are in the spot where next year, definitively, if he keeps going like he has been, he is a major league player.
And they've been opening doors for him and clearing paths for him. Coincidentally, the Padres are in town. Part of the reason that they felt so comfortable letting Xander Bogaerts hit free agency is because they felt they had their shortstop of the future.
There. Yes.
They've been opening doors for him for years.
And if he wasn't the shortstop of the future, it was Trevor Story's going to play shortstop for a couple years and Marcel Meyer will play second base.
Right.
So now we're integrating Vaughn Grissom. Now we're integrating like conversations about even David Hamilton. Like I can't sleep on David Hamilton. David Hamilton, this is a feather in his cap. He's proven to be a major league player, right? A major league middle infielder.
Yeah.
Correct?
It's not something you would have been able to say earlier.
If you got what you have in David Hamilton from Vaughn Grissom, you would have been good trade. Good trade, Red Sox.
Yep.
Right?
Absolutely.
Anyway, you got another one to sneak in here?
I do.
All right.
Okay. I teased Justin Turner. I'll go there. Valdez for Justin Turner. Who says no?
Oh.
Because
it's a good one.
Turner's hitting lefties.
Yeah.
Sox needs someone who can hit lefties.
Yeah.
I don't believe the whole DH. DH to play the field. That was not true. They said that all offseason, and then they haven't played Massa in the field. I think, what is it, one game he's played in
the field? Well, this also be real. Like, this is – Justin Turner's a good fit for a couple different reasons. Number one, we know the presence he can be, a positive presence he can be on this team.
Yep.
And as we said this before, it's all well and good right now. But when the rubber meets the road, it's always good to have a veteran guy in there. People like Justin Turner around this team. The other thing is that, yeah, you're tying yourself in a knot to playing Yoshida. Fine, you're playing Yoshida. But if you had Justin Turner play against lefties and Yoshida play against righties – everyone's going to be like, that's acceptable. That's acceptable. And when it comes to Emmanuel Valdez, is he a major league player? Okay, sure, fine. But so is Santiago Espinal.
And here's the issue and why Valdez is going to be in so many of my who says no's for the next month, and if he's not traded moving forward, is just you have – like David Hamilton is a lefty middle infielder who – we'll see if he's going to be a starting caliber player moving forward. We'll see if he's going to come off the bench and be that guy. But if – how many lefty middle infielders, like up and down kind of guys, maybe guy who comes off the – how many of those guys can you have on the roster?
No.
Moving forward, not even just the 26-man, like and, the 40-man.
Yeah, and when it comes to Valdez, it's such a like a tease of a player, right? He actually like – he
can
offensively, hit. He feels like he can hit, but then you look at his numbers, it's like, oh, his numbers, like it feels like he's better than that. And then defensively – oh, he's gotten better, and then you see a play like the other night.
It's still not good.
It's still not good. So you have to identify who are fits. David Hamilton is a better fit than Emmanuel Valdez. You still have Vaughn Grissom here. You have Marcelo Meyer coming up. You have
right.
Nick York in the conversation. Like, exactly. All of it.
And multiple of those guys, like, at some point are going to have to go. And by some point, I mean some point relatively soon.
But so why are we talking about this? Because it's the trade deadline. Because you start have to identify teams. And the thing that they have going for them, and Manny Valdez is a perfect example of this. He has some semblance of value. And I think that one might be your best one. Honestly, I don't know. I like the Eflin one too.
I would love it if they traded for Justin Turner. I mean, I was one of the bigger opponents.
Listen, it's Steve Pierce all over again, isn't it?
In what way?
Like, and you're getting the short-time veteran right-handed hitting whatever, like in this case DH, for the guy that, okay, he might be a major leaguer, but yeah. So be it.
And would they do the Steve Pierce trade
right.
Over and over again? Would they?
I think so. All right, Gordo of Playtessie, thank you so much. Thank you to everybody. Thank you, Matt Spiegel, obviously. Excellent, excellent job. Thank you to Jacob Lastner. Excellent job behind the glass, Jacob. Thank you to all the subscribers and listeners and followers at BB Isn't Boring. I play Tessie as well. We at WEEI and Odyssey love to talk baseball. We love it.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.